I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Welcome to The Big Lead. We're scrambling. There's so much breaking news coming in. We're scrambling as we speak. We got a small operation. We got the smallest operation in all of talk radio. It's just me and Nicole and Andra. That's it. That's all we got.
And
now, there are shows that all have co-hosts and multiple producers and assistant producers and interns.
Aaron's here, too.
Hey there.
Oh, Aaron.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Dory. How you doing?
No, I know. But you know, Aaron, I know that you, as the great journalistic newsman that you are, I have to keep you somewhat separate from the nonsense of talk radio.
Fair enough. I appreciate that. Yeah, you stay in your lane. We stay in ours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never meant to be a slight.
I know.
But for what it's worth, I love you.
Hey, right back at you, Dory.
Why can't you ever say the words?
I live.
get out of here. All right. Hey, Nicole, check out the link I just sent you and see if you can load that audio.
Yeah, too. I'm on it.
Okay.
Got it.
Crazy.
But I did find some other good stuff, too, so it's at the top.
Okay, we have some crazy news on this breaking R. Kelly story. So we'll get to all of this. But this might be the craziest of them all. We may have finally officially reached peak woke insanity. And it is thanks to, man, this is the second time I'm slamming the Seattle Times in less than an hour. But this might be the most stupid woke thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Okay, a listener texted this to me, and I couldn't believe this is true. I couldn't believe it, what he described to me. There's a comic strip that runs in the Seattle Times called Dilbert. Do you enjoy the Dilbert? Nicole, Andrew, do either of you ever read comic strips?
No.
I have recently, actually, ever since I got a Epic Times subscription. I have been. Oh. And they have Dilbert in there.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I used to love the comic strips when I was a kid, and especially the Sunday comics, and you'd get some fresh Silly Putty, and you could press it down on the comic strips and pull it up, and it'd have all the ink on the Silly Putty. But anyway, Dilbert says, I need to go home. I need to go home sick today. I have cramps. And the boss says, in your legs? Dilbert says, no. The boss says, is this a woke thing? And Dilbert says, I identify as a birthing human. To be honest, I'm only doing it for the benefits, but I believe my scheme is allowed under our current guidelines. Is it not? And the boss says, jerk. And Dilbert, walking out, says, see you tomorrow, bigot. That's a pretty funny comic strip. Dilbert identifies as a human birthing person. And says he has cramps just so he can walk out of work sick. And he calls his boss a bigot for questioning him on it. That's pretty funny. I like it. I like Dilbert. However, let's fast forward to today, where the listener who texted me took a picture of this from the print edition of the Seattle Times. It's an editor's note. The Seattle Times Sunday Comics section, which is printed in advance, features a Dilbert cartoon that does not meet the values of our organization. We have shared our concerns with the vendor that supplies our comic strips and apologize for any distress caused by its publication. Dilbert caused distress because a comic book character identifies as a birthing person. It caused distress. You know what I would love? You know what I would pay for? If somebody had recorded their moment of distress when they read that Dilbert comic strip, what did they do? Did they shriek in horror? Did they sob uncontrollably? Dilbert made fun of birthing person. How did the distress manifest itself? Were they overcome with chills followed by heat? Did they have the grip? I mean, what was the manifestation of that distress? And then, not only were they distressed after reading a Dilbert comic strip, but obviously, they then took the time to contact the Seattle Times. Now, I'm wondering how that went. Did they send them an email? Or were they so furious they needed immediate distress attention? Did they call in?
Hello, Seattle Times.
Yes, I just read Dilbert.
Dilbert, we love Dilbert. Dilbert's a fine anchor in our comic section. Everybody loves Dilbert. What about Dilbert?
Well, did you read today's Dilbert?
No, when I get off work, that's when I read all of our comics. I like to enjoy them all at the same time.
Well, in Dilbert today, Dilbert identified as a birthing human.
Birthing human? Dilbert, what's that office scamp going to get into next? Okay, so what's the problem?
He said that he was just pretending to be a birthing human to get benefits. He said it was a scheme so he could just leave work with crabs.
Dilbert, I'm telling you. Oh, man, I love it when they can poke fun at the foibles of society.
These are not foibles, and I am in distress right now. And if you don't print something in your Wednesday paper to apologize for what you've done to me, then I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll do it.
Oh, well, sorry, I never knew this was so serious. How about if we word it this way? The Seattle Times Sunday comic section, which is printed in advance.
By the way, as an aside, what does that have to do with anything? Which is printed in advance? What if it's printed the day of? How does that change things? Those are just words put in to make the nonsensical even less sensical.
Okay, how about if we word it this way? The Seattle Times Sunday comic section, which was printed in advance.
What does printed in advance have to do with anything?
I'm just going to leave it in. It features a Dilbert cartoon that does not meet the values of our organization. We've shared our concerns with the vendor that supplies our comic strips and apologize for any distress caused by its publication.
Apology not accepted. I'm still in distress.
We'll apologize for that tomorrow.
So there you go. Seattle Times editor's note in today's paper. Dilbert. Can you imagine living your life? The life, the church of the perpetually offended? That's all it's about. Where can you be offended today?
Let's see. Well, Blondie. I'm doing the editor's voice. I have to do the offended guy's voice.
Well, Blondie seems to be okay. Dagwood was late again, and that makes men look irresponsible, but it's not too bad. Charlie Brown, Lucy pulled up the football again, but, oh, they've been doing that a long time. I'm kind of used to it. Let's see, Dilbert, ooh, birthing person, scheme, crayon. I'm going to make that my offense of the day. Bitches, birthing person! So anyway, Scott Adams, the editor or the creator of Dilbert, nice job. You do a funny comic strip there. The perpetually offended. yeah, I'm not going to say anything to you. You have already been punished enough by the way you find offense at things like comic strips. Okay. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
So yesterday, I was talking about, briefly, why this show does not talk about the January 6th hearings. Well, first of all, 90% of what we cover is local. But I said the January 6th hearings are a ridiculous, pathetic, kangaroo court sham. And it is useless information by people who have decided an outcome and now are trying to find any means to arrive at that outcome. Oh, it outraged people when I said that yesterday. But you didn't hear the testimony today. You didn't hear that Donald Trump tried to commandeer the presidential limousine, the Beast. This woman's testimony was so gripping. And it is going to destroy Donald. Finally, this is the smoking gun. So I thought, well, everybody's really upset that I said this is a sham, that it's not ever worthy of our attention or our coverage. I don't want to waste your time ever. So I went and listened after the show to Cassidy Hutchinson and her story that she heard secondhand. So this is hearsay, which, by the way, hearsay is not admissible in a court of law, but when you have a left-wing Congress that is determined to make up a storyline, well, all of a sudden, hearsay becomes perfect.
I looked at Tony, and he had said, "Did you effing hear what happened in the Beast?" I said, "No, Tony, I just got back. What happened?" Tony proceeded to tell me that when the president got in the Beast, he was under the impression from Mr. Meadows that the off-the-record movement to the Capitol was still possible and likely to happen, but that Bobby had more information. So once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol, and when Bobby had relayed to him, "We're not, we don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing," the president had very strong, very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, "I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now." To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
Wow. An unhinged president of the United States fighting through two Secret Service agents to commandeer the Beast, to drive it up to the Capitol against the Secret Service wishes. No wonder in the hours when everybody on the radical left wanted my radio show to jump on the bandwagon because everybody else is talking about it. Everybody else is doing it. I'm like the only person in the country who was saying, all of this is bogus. This is all nonsense. But, oh, by last night, in the couple hours after that testimony, the media needed a collective drool bib.
The January 6th Select Committee wrapped up a stunning public hearing. It was, we should make no mistake, one for the history books and a complete game changer.
Only 25 or 26 years old, Cassidy Hutchinson exploded the lies and the myths that the Trump team have been perpetuating for more than a year now.
This is an historic day. Our descendants are going to ask us what we know about Cassidy Hutchinson. That's a name that they will know. They're going to ask it, us what this was like to watch this and to listen to this, because this is a day that is going to loom very large in American history.
One last thing, big picture. Liz Cheney began her final comments by saying that we are in debt to Cassidy Hutchinson. I think America and democracy is in debt to this young woman.
Okay, so I'm getting all these texts from leftist listeners yesterday saying that I need to jump on the bandwagon. I need to talk about how Cassidy Hutchinson saved America yesterday. It's only one little teeny tiny problem. It apparently was all made up. Peter Alexander at NBC News, our buddy. I used to know Peter when he was at Q13. He's certainly no fan of Donald Trump. But Peter Alexander was the first to report last night, a source close to the Secret Service tells me both Bobby Engel, the lead agent, and the presidential limousine SUV driver are prepared to testify under oath that neither man was assaulted and that Mr. Trump never lunged for the steering wheel. And then you had ABC and Fox News and every other media outlet independently obtained the same information. The Secret Service says all of that testimony was made up. It was hearsay by a low-level staffer that everyone else in the media was elevating to the savior of American democracy. But when you recognize, as I do, that this entire hearing is a sham, it's a kangaroo court, it is total garbage, you tend to look at stuff like this with a skeptical eye. And my eye was absolutely correct, that this was all nonsense. So when I said yesterday that's the reason I'm not covering it, that was before Peter Alexander's Secret Service denies all of this came out. And in fact, Kash Patel, a member of the president's security and advisor team back then, he still wants to know why, when Donald Trump authorized 20,000 National Guard to guard the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, days before January 6th, Trump ordered 20,000 National Guard. Doesn't sound like he was laying the groundwork for some coup if he was going to have 20,000 National Guard. But Nancy Pelosi said no. Nancy Pelosi had the final say. And she's the one who said, no, don't guard the Capitol on January 6th. Here's Kash Patel.
I was in the Oval Office with the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Chief of Staff of the President of the United States, along with the 45th President. And we were working on a very sensitive operation, totally unrelated to January 6th, which is why it sticks into my mind. And the President, on his own, after that meeting, about a different topic, said, if you guys need up to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women across the United States for the upcoming days and any activity related to January 6th, you have my authorization as Commander-in-Chief to go forward. That was the authorization, as you outlined, that the law requires.
And you testified before the January 6th. You testified to all of this before the January 6th committee, as did Chris Miller, the Secretary of Defense at the time.
Yep, and as did anybody else that was in that room. Well, as did Chairman Milley, and as you and I both know, Sean, this committee would have leaked information had Chairman Milley testified under oath that contradicted anything that Chris Miller and I have both said on your show and to this committee. And so since that leak has not occurred by the likes of Adam Schiff, you know that we have been testifying truthfully, and anything to the contrary is absolutely false, and the Capitol Police timeline backs it up, that Mayor Bowser and the Sergeant-at-Arms declined the Department of Defense's request and authorization of National Guard, not only on January 4th, but on January 5th and in the morning of January 6th. So they did not want us there for political optics.
It was Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who left the Capitol unguarded on January 6th. Now, you're not going to hear that from anybody else in the media. And the only reason I'm talking about this today is because it continues to be our role to counterbalance all of the absolute lies that are spewed by so much of the media every single day. That's your big lead this hour. Coming up next, if you have not heard who the new King County Health Director is, and more importantly, who his idol is, you will hear that exclusively next here on the Dory Monson Show. There we go. Now we got us a real bumper. Nicole, apparently I have to make a correction on the Dilbert comic strip that we were just talking about. I don't read Dilbert. Apparently that was not Dilbert talking to the boss. It was his co-worker Wally talking to the pointy-haired boss. As several listeners pointed out.
I'm here.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. No, I just made a correction. It wasn't Dilbert talking to the boss. The texters let me know. It was his coworker Wally.
Oh.
But and the reason the Times
I'm glad you made
said
that correction.
It was printed in advance is because they preemptively ran the editor's note the day the comic strip ran. So that was why they put that phrase in there. So anyway, but still, peak woke madness has arrived. That's what we know. Now, as we told you a couple of hours ago, King County has a brand new health director. And this is an extraordinarily important job because this is the person who can determine if they're going to bring back a mask mandate or any other types of restrictions on your and my life as COVID continues to ebb and flow. And what we found, once we found out who the new health director is, I started doing a ton of research. And I found an interview that I don't think anybody here in the Puget Sound area has heard. The new King County Health Director, selected by Dow Constantine, is Dr. Faisal Khan. He has been leading the health department in suburban St. Louis, in St. Louis County. And he says that he wants to lead the department out of the emergency mode that's been in for the past 2+ years of the pandemic and into a more stable foundation, according to the Seattle Times. But here's what I found that was kind of concerning about Dr. Faisal Khan. First of all, last year, he was talking to the city council or county council back in St. Louis County. And it turns out that there was a lot of people in St. Louis who didn't want to go back to a mask mandate. And he said, no, you got to go back to the mask mandate.
Dr. Khan spoke Tuesday night before the county council, before the council voted to overturn the mask mandate. Khan said while he was speaking, he heard audience members mocking his accent. Khan is from Pakistan and is a U.S. citizen. He said Missouri U.S. Senate candidate Mark McCloskey and Paul Berry III, a former county executive candidate, who were sitting right behind him, constantly berated him and tried to distract him from his presentation.
Okay, so this guy accused two prominent people of mocking him and using disparaging racial comments. What was interesting was a Democrat party person who was there at the meeting, she told Fox 2 in St. Louis that she was sitting right there, and it simply did not happen from those two people he accused.
Local Democratic political consultant Jane Duker said she was sitting about 4 rows behind Dr. Khan. Here's what she says she saw and heard.
I did not hear any racial remarks whatsoever. I didn't even know Mark McCloskey was there until the next day. The people in the front row were being very careful when people would start screaming out. The people in the front row were the people that were turning around saying, be quiet, keep the meeting, you know, at an appropriate level.
Okay, now, I find that to be a little concerning. If Dr. Faisal Khan was accusing individuals by name of racial slurs, and here you have a Democratic Party person who says that that's simply never happened. And so that alone, I think, is concerning. Now, Mark McCloskey, who Faisal Khan was accusing that of, is a Republican. So the fact that a Democratic Party person was standing up for a Republican and saying he never, and you may remember this Mark McCloskey guy, because in 2020, when a Black Lives Matter march broke down the gate to a community of homes in which this guy lived, he and his wife stood outside of their house with a rifle and a handgun and made it clear that if anybody comes up and starts smashing their house, that they were not going to allow that to happen. So the fact that a Democrat party person was standing up for a Republican who was being accused of racial slurs, I find that a little concerning from Dr. Faisal Khan, our new public health director. And then listen to what happened when he got out of this meeting.
Dr. Khan said he faced racial slurs and was physically bumped after he exited the council chambers. In the letter, he said, quote, "I became surrounded by the crowd in close quarters where members of the crowd yelled at me, calling me obscene names. After being physically assaulted, called racist slurs, and surrounded by an angry mob, I expressed my displeasure by using my middle finger toward an individual who had physically threatened me and also called me racist slurs."
Okay, so he accuses a Republican candidate of racial slurs. A Democrat who's sitting there said that never happened. Then he gets outside and again says that racial slurs were directed at him. And he flips off people. This is our new King County Public Health Director. And he made it clear, and this is the audio that I found to that I wanted to share with you. He made it clear that public opinion does not matter to him because he's in charge.
Regardless of what people's opinions may be or whether they choose to wrangle this in court, etc., it really does not matter.
Public opinion does not matter. That's what I want to hear from my employees, which is what every government person is. We pay their salaries.
The public health urgency is to get everybody to wear a mask. Whether they want to consider it a mandate or whether they want to consider it an advisory is up entirely up to them. It really does not matter.
Doesn't matter. Public opinion doesn't matter. Now, this was a year ago. So who knows if he would try to reimpose some mask mandate here. But here's the one. This is the one you have to hear. Who is the hero, the idol, the great man, according to our brand new King County Public Health Director?
And my idol in public health, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the great man himself, has received a lot more vile abuse directed his way. And so I count myself fortunate in that I'm able to work in public health and serve people. It is highly regrettable that it's come to this situation and the fact that I've had to request additional security for myself. I'm not the least bit worried, nor am I going to walk away from the mission of public health. Dr. Fauci inspires me every day with his example.
The great man, Anthony Fauci, is his hero, his idol of the new King County Public Health Director. I wonder what Jay Inslee with his emergency powers and Dow Constein and this guy, I wonder what they have cooking for us down the road. We will watch it and report on it with great interest. Coming up next, we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day, including the trending showbiz story, R. Kelly sentenced to 30 years in prison. Wait till you hear some of the audio we have for that. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And before we get out of here, it is time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
So the trending news this afternoon, singer R. Kelly has been sentenced to 30 years in prison for sex with underage girls and international sex trafficking. This guy who's reportedly worth $100 million, and he's going to spend pretty much the rest of his life in prison. You know, this is like the Jeffrey Epstein thing. You know, these rich guys who can never have enough in life. They never find any peace or any happiness. And he tried denying it.
How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing.
Okay, he denied it. But this was creepy. He did a concert in Ethiopia a few years back. How creepy is this?
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America?
What?
America, America. Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? America.
Well, that is creepy. 30 years behind bars. Good riddance. You doing a barbecue 4th of July shopping yet?
Shoppers, brace yourselves, because according to the American Farm Bureau Federation market survey, Americans will be spending on average around $70 for a 10-person July 4th menu, up 17% compared to last year.
There's some shenanigans going on.
Economists explain the shenanigans.
Remember last year when the Biden administration put out a bogus tweet that said, your 4th of July barbecue is 6 cents less than last year, which is a total lie. And now this year, it's up more than $10. They didn't put out a tweet about that.
Shenanigans as inflation, the war in Ukraine, and a jump in farmers' expenses.
Wait a second. What? Who's this? CBS Los Angeles? Let me back that up. I'm just hearing, Nicole just found this. I'm hearing this for the first time.
Begins as inflation, the war in Ukraine, and a jump in farmers' expenses.
The price.
The war in Ukraine has nothing to do with this. It's a president who has removed America's independence. War in Ukraine might have something to do with the price of your buns. Because they are like our Midwest. They are the breadbasket to the world.
So fuel, that's a big deal for farmers' businesses. We also have seen tripling in the price of fertilizer, the cost of labor, the cost of land.
2 pounds of ground beef is up 36%, and chicken breast up 33%. Fresh squeezed lemonade, you're looking at a 22% increase. Some ways to save, how about getting higher fat percentage ground beef? Switching out chicken breast for thighs, or skipping the name brands for generic.
Don't be so hung up.
Switch out the breast for the thighs. Thighs are delicious. Thighs are the best chicken part. But they are higher in fat. Joe Biden is adding to the obesity of America, making people get higher fat pieces of chicken. Shame. Shame, I say. So what do you say about all this, Mr. President?
President, it's good to see you again. And thank you for... Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for making the effort to come over.
Yeah, are we ready? He interrupts himself. By the way, I don't know if you saw the video. He was at the presidential palace in Madrid yesterday. It is... Go look at the video. It's really sad. It's a lost and disoriented man. Nobody is talking to him. He's standing behind a chair, just kind of looking down, nobody talking to him. He doesn't know what to do, doesn't know where to go. It's a very telling video clip. And with that, I have to get out of here. John Carley and Sherry Elker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Hi, dude.
Let us be grateful to people who make us happy. They're the charming gardeners who make our souls blossom.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.